I'd like you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. We're going to do this a little bit differently tonight, more in a form of a devotional. It is such an important psalm to me personally. This particular psalm has been tremendously helpful for me in a few times of real crisis. And I differentiate that. You know, we all have our ups and downs, but there are times when you really hit the end or run into the wall, if you understand what I'm saying. Things are really turned hard for you. This psalm has always spoken to my heart in that situation, and I want to share it with you. I have shared it. I remember one mom, I remember getting the phone call, and her son had just died suddenly at the playground. 12 years old. It was a horrible situation. There was absolutely zero explanation. And you go to those situations and what answers do you have for this? And I remembered the agony of her cries. I knew nothing, nothing else to do but to turn, and I just read this psalm to her, and we read it over and over again. And she caught it. She was not a well-grounded Christian. She was someone who had made a decision for Christ not that long before. But this passage spoke to the hurt of her heart and offered the hope that was so precious in that difficult time. I'm not going to be overwhelmed with a lot of different slides tonight. This is my one and only. I would like us to read through it together. Can you read it, or is that too small? Okay, we're going to read it together. First of all, before I do that, I want you to note this. How long, and then how long. How long is there? There's twice in the first verse, twice in the second verse. This how long statement is found in the Psalms more than once, but never so concentrated as it is in this passage. This is a psalm, that the Psalm of David, where he obviously was hurting very, very deeply. Let's read it now. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. I have broken this up specifically in three stanzas because that's just obviously the way the psalm was written. The original language lends to it every aspect, and you go to commentary after commentary. 95% of them will recognize this threefold, division of this psalm. The first one is of an individual who is absolutely desperate. And do you recognize what he is desperate about? Is he desperate about his personal temporal circumstances? I don't think so. And then you see in the second stanza, he turns and he cries out. It is the prayer of the psalm. He cries out with his heart just hurting so much that he doesn't even know how to put it into words. He doesn't quite understand his circumstances. He isn't 100% sure of how to make his request. And then he has a change in heart. And the one thing that is very certain When you read this psalm in context, there is no indication at all that the circumstances changed one bit from the start to the finish. The circumstances remain just as grave at the end of the psalm as at the beginning, but his heart was transformed. His attitude towards the situation was radically different. And he was able to praise the Lord. He was able to do exactly what we are commanded to do in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 is a tremendous challenge. It ought to be a challenge to every believer because it says, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Now, can't we all just list a few times when we say, I wish that wasn't included in the always? You know, there are times when you just rejoicing doesn't, it isn't natural. It may not be natural, but it is still commanded. And that's an important truth to remember. It you know what that does for me personally? It's a humbling truth that reminds me that I am not God. But I serve a God who deserves my obedience even when I don't feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then he gives us another alternative. Be careful for nothing. I'm quoting from Philippians chapter 4. But in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Again, another piece of the puzzle, which in my difficult times, tonight I will have, based on what's going on in my life right now, I'll have no problem rejoicing in the Lord. I am thrilled with what the Lord is doing. I will have no problem thanking the Lord because I'm thrilled with what's going on. But I, like you, have been at times when things haven't gone. In fact, as they seem to have snowballed in the opposite direction. And rejoicing is a decision of one's will and has nothing to do with one's feelings. Even coming forth with a thankful heart, at least in my experience, at times has to be a discipline, not a natural flow. I don't know if I'm alone in this. I don't think I am. But I recognize whether I like it or not, that is what he has commanded. And then, as I do it, I experience the peace that he promises as we do it his way. I also find it very, very interesting in the Philippian passage. And by the way, we'll come back to Psalms. I really didn't intend to talk about the Philippian passage, although it does parallel in some respects the thoughts here. The Philippians passage says, be careful for nothing or don't be worried. But in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto God. And it has always been a help to me to remind myself of the difference between the two words of prayer and supplication. The word prayer could include supplication very easily, but supplication is specifically, is primarily focused on our making requests for the needs, not of ourselves, but of others. And wow, is that helpful to me. You know, when you really need to get beyond the pressures of your own life, invest yourself in the lives of others. It is amazing how that is a healing step in its own. Now, we're looking at this psalm. We read through it. This is a beautiful psalm. In what ways have family and friends helped you in times of real discouragement? You thought about that? What ways have family and friends helped you in times of discouragement? Well, someday I probably should just be transparent and say that I remember one major crisis in my life where my wife, and I've said this, a little bit of this, but I've never felt at peace to share all of it, but where my wife and I were so down, we booked a couple plane tickets and left here and went out to California, to San Diego, where in our other life, before we were in the ministry, that was a beautiful place for us to go when we wanted to just get away. And we said, you know what? We're going. And while we were in the hotel room, trying to sort out why things had gone the direction they had gone, and frankly, we had no human explanations, nor answers, nor solutions. Just exasperation. And for me, probably as close as I've ever been to the genuine depression. I remember a phone call. Had a couple of phone calls from my children. I remember one and very specifically. And it's not like they really had any words to say. Other than, I just want you to know, Dad, I'm praying for you. You know, when you're really down, it's interesting. Those words weren't overly comforting. As a matter of fact, I'm being way too transparent in some respect. I felt like slamming the phone down because it didn't seem to provide an answer. I wanted an answer. I wanted all of this to evaporate. But that wasn't going to be. I am reminded when I think of this psalm of the desperation that David felt. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? You know what he's really saying? It's not about his circumstances. It's about a severed relationship with God. He was unable to sense the presence, the abiding awareness of God in his life. And it was frightening to him. Now, have you ever been there? There's a couple people in here that are younger. You may not have been. Some others of us that have been around a few more, could we even say decades? Which is a scary way to put it. Most of us that have any decades with our walk with the Lord. Yeah, I can relate to this. What's the truth about, where are you, God? Why aren't you around? Why haven't you answered my prayers? Why have you forgotten about me? Has God forgotten about him? No. That's why in my own heart I'm so often remind myself that he says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I don't have anything to fear. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, what is happening? Thou art with me. I don't believe that is simply talking about physical death and when we go from this life to the next. There are times when it seems so dark. But we are told in many, many different places in Scripture that he will never abandon us. And we have to hold on to those truths. Anchor ourselves in those truths. What question went through David's mind as he waited for the Lord to answer prayer? Well, I think he was wondering about, Lord, did you fall asleep? What's wrong here? Are you too distracted by other items? It had to be those types of thoughts, or else he wouldn't have been repeating this statement. How long, O Lord? You know what? The beautiful truth of this psalm is a reminder that the troubles we face are never unique to us. Here we are, a man who are thousands of years from where we are today. And yet, if we live long enough, every one of us will experience at some point in our life this type of emptiness that David is describing. What did David ask God to do? Consider and hear me, O Lord. You know, I think of the fun I'm having an enormous amount of fun with my grandchildren at this point in my life. That probably is evident from anybody that comes here on a regular basis. But I've noticed the 1 and 2, the 2 and 3 or 4 year olds can get exasperated. And you're trying to discipline them or correct them or send them in a different direction. And they can get exasperated, and you can see all they want you to do is, you don't understand. You know, and the fact is, I think I do understand, but they don't have that sense. And how comforting it is for me to remember, okay, even if I do understand, if I just take the second to listen, and then I correct. And it's amazing how that, well, in some respects, in our walk with the Lord, it is important for us to hear from Him. Now, here is a tragedy in our day. I don't think enough of us are really focusing in our own personal walk with the Lord, so that we are hearing from our Lord in a daily basis. We are not meeting with our Lord, as you see of the godly men and women of yesteryear, right? And they talk about their intimate communication with God. We need to be mindful that we are to cultivate this same type of intimacy, where when we sit down with our Bible and we read, that we anticipate understanding a message from God. And when we pray, that it's connected with the same experience, because the Spirit of God intends, He's here to be a guide to us, to lead us, to direct us. And it's described as an intimate walk, abiding. Remember, I read that verse this morning, or quoted it, John chapter 15, verse 5. Abiding in Him and He in us. There is to be this intimacy, and we are to connect with our God through the work of, primarily the work of the Spirit, which is using the Word of God and our prayer time. So it's our reading of the Word and our prayer, which, does that not sound like what should be our devotional time, our quiet time? It is a meeting with God, but I don't hear testimonies to that, to in that direction. But yet we should be. That is what he was earnestly hoping for, desiring. He wanted to hear from the Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. As I pointed out to many, this is a passage that I use when I've been called to homes at different situations where people are suicidal. I said, God knows how you feel. Look at what this psalmist says. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. What is he saying? He says, I'm beyond myself. I don't want any more of this. I just want it to end. It's a euphemism for being done. Because he couldn't connect. Enlighten my eyes. He was praying a very brilliant prayer, by the way, a prayer that we ought to be using on a regular basis. Lord, open my eyes to understand your message. Help me understand what you want me to understand. Help me not to lose my way. Enlighten my eyes. Illuminate my eyes. Lest I sleep to death. In other words, he wanted to hear. He wanted to see in the Word. He wanted to connect with a message from God himself. As you move along, he had this concern that others would joy in his failure. Verse 4, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He didn't want that. He wanted God to be glorified in all that he did. We should want the same. And now, look at 5 and 6. In this is a powerful combination of truths. What does he first say? He has this but. That is it is a word that says, all right, you're right. I have said all of these things and I really felt all these things. I experiencing all of these things. But frankly, that does not matter because of the truth that follows. He says, because I have trusted in your mercy. It's hesed. Loving kindness of God. He says, I have already trusted in this and I know it's for real. Do you know it's for real in your own life? This trusting in him? Has he carried you through? Can you think of times when God has miraculously carried you through difficulties? So can I. And I could start making a list where it looks so grim and so hopeless, and there we are. I think of couples that had brought me to tears, prayers and tears, because their lives were such shambles, and today they're married and taking care of the kids together and struggling on paying the bills together, and you sit there and you think back and you say, I am telling you, I could not believe that would ever happen. But our God carried it through. We all have those experiences, but you know what we should be doing? We ought to be keeping track of those experiences. This psalmist, David, understood this. He said, I have trusted in your mercy. Past tense. It's a settled issue. That's the point. I have trusted in your loving kindness. Huge. Right there. That is a game changer. That changes the direction of the psalm. That change in his mind of not looking at or being controlled by his emotions. You recognize how it transformed here? He was overwhelmed by this loneliness and his isolation and his despair. And then, like a light bulb was switched on, he remembered the character of his God. And he trusted that. And then what happened? My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The salvation is a beautiful thought in that it is to receive victory, deliverance. He is saying that my heart shall rejoice in your deliverance from this pathetic situation because I know you're a great God. And you're greater than my circumstances. And that he has promised us a future that is way better than anything that my eyes and heart can even imagine. My heart shall rejoice in your deliverance. And then I will sing to the Lord. That's a commitment. He is going to start singing praises. You know, I think of this psalm because he had dealt bountifully with me. And I think of Acts. I've been reading through Acts where Peter was thrown into jail. Imagine how he felt. Thrown into jail because he was preaching the gospel. And he was doing his level best to prevent more people from going into eternal damnation. And they were people he knew and he loved, and he was sharing the good news, and for that he got beat and thrown into jail. But in the midst of it, he understood the truth of Psalms 13, 5 and 6. He trusted in God. And what was he doing in prison? What was he doing in jail? He was singing praises to God. I wonder if he hadn't thought of this passage and remembered that that's exactly what he needs to do. He needs to lift his heart and rejoice in his great God. At my very lowest time, I was unable to read the scripture and get anything out of it. In fact, it wasn't working. Prayer wasn't working. But what did get to me, I'll remember it forever. Be thou my vision. That song started to go through my mind. I thought of it. And then before I knew it, I was humming it. And then I was singing it. What had transpired in my life? My circumstances, I assure you, were no different than they were a week before. But I had gone through this crisis of events. For what purpose, I asked. I know what purpose it was. So that I would recognize that life is more than circumstances. That God is what is important and my relationship with Him. And that I can always trust in Him. And when I face things in the future, which I'm certain they will come, have you tried to imagine what it must be like to be in a hospital bed and have the doctors tell you that you aren't going to make it? That type of experience is probably ahead for some of us here. Are you ready? The truth is, you know, God will give us grace sufficient for the time. But thinking through these concepts before are critical. We need to trust in His loving kindness, in His hesed, in His mercy. And our hearts shall rejoice in His deliverance, His salvation. And we ought to be singing to our Lord because the truth is, I was a wretched sinner who was so arrogant I did not deserve to know Jesus as my personal Savior. No way. And I didn't even want to listen. But God in His mercy used my very own pride to memorize Scripture, so I started to absorb some of these truths. And then the power of the Spirit enlightened my hardened heart to my own sinfulness and the beautiful salvation that is found in Christ. He truly has dealt bountifully with me. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He has dealt bountifully with you. And yes, circumstances here may be very difficult, but He is still our loving God. He is still the one that we can rest in and trust in. And we do not have to fear what tomorrow might hold. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to just share some of these thoughts from this important passage, least important in my own heart. I pray, Father, that each one of us would be mindful of the beauty of this passage, how we are to trust in you with all of our heart, and to rejoice in your deliverance, and to sing to you, and to recall, and to reflect, and to remember your bountiful blessings upon us. Lord, you're a great God. We thank you for the way you sustain us as individuals and the way you sustain us as a ministry. We thank you for your blessings upon this nation. We pray that you would have mercy on us and help us to go forward in such a way that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.